Man, I just want to ask one quick question before we get started. You just have to raise your hand. How many of you had one rough week this week? Yeah, and we got reminded this morning that we have a God, an angel's armies on our side, that God is greater, that when we're surrounded by His love, and that we need to praise Him in the storm. See, Pam, God was working through that this morning. God was working through that this morning. Yeah, it was a rough week, but you know what? If you have a rough week, there's no better place to be than be part of family on Sunday morning. Be part of family on Sunday morning. And if you need someone just to slap you in the back of the head and remind you God loves you, or if you need a hug, John Miller's the guy. Well, good morning, MCC. Real quick, an update about For Muhammad. The T-shirts will be here next Sunday. Next Sunday, the T-shirts will arrive, the first order of them anyway, I do believe. And they're going to be $6 a piece. If you can't afford one, that's okay. If you want to give extra to help those who can't afford one, that's okay too. We also have kid sizes. So if you want to get your kids involved with this movement For Muhammad and serving our community around us, then please do. And if we run out of the sizes, we'll take orders and we'll get a second, third, fourth, whatever it takes to get it in here. But they will be here next week. Those have been asking. So I wanted to give you that update about For Muhammad. And I have seen it on social media. Some of you have been hashtagging and using it, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm so excited about what God's going to do with this. And it's going to really take off. It's going to really take off. So thank you for being a part of it. Well, I want to officially welcome you to the start of our 10-week journey through the Ten Commandments. Pastor David conveniently took off for Arizona, but he wanted you to know that he was involved in planning this. He didn't want you to think he didn't do some work this week. But together we've decided to call this series The Ten Commandments, Love Carved in Stone. Love Carved in Stone. And how does one introduce a series on the Ten Commandments? Well, you could tell a joke. And I had a joke, and I didn't like my joke. So we're skipping that, right, Mackenzie? We're going to skip that, right? I already told her we were. So we're going to skip that. But this is actually how Pastor Jeff is going to open a series on the Ten Commandments. Go ahead.
I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me. Oh, hear me. All pay heed. The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15. Ten commandments for all to obey.
Huh? Yeah. I love that clip. As soon as Dave said I was opening, I said, I'm using the clip. He goes, I was going to use it. Too bad. You're not here the first week. I'm using the clip. Most people, whether they believe in God or the Bible, know that in the Christian faith, the Ten Commandments, they're important. They're important. USA Today a few years ago did a survey on it, and it said that 60% of Americans, though, cannot name five of the Ten Commandments, cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. And there was a pastor a couple years ago also surveyed 25 students at his local high school Christian club that they had there. And 16 of these students who go to this Christian club couldn't even name one of the Ten Commandments. Seven could name only one to four of them, between one and four. One could name seven, and one could name nine. I wonder which one that person missed. But one could name nine. How many of you can name all of them? Or get close? Yeah, maybe close. So just to review, here are the Ten Commandments that they're found in Exodus chapter 20. They're up there. And you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. That's probably the one the student missed, right? Honor your father. Yeah, Ron Rosso. Yeah, that's the one. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. Now, if you need them broken down a little more, you can always learn them Southern style, which is the next slide. There's only one God. Don't worship things. No cussing. Y'all gather on the Sabbath. Y'all mind your ma and pa. No killing. Cheating is forbidden. Y'all don't steal. No white lies or gossiping. And no hankering for other stuff. It's a little easier to remember them that way, isn't it? But accurate nonetheless. Whichever list you read, most non-Christians see the Ten Commandments as a simple list of rules you have to follow to believe in God. A list of rules created by a religion which cramps their lifestyle that prohibits them from living life fun and free. However, contrary to this popular belief, the Ten Commandments were not given to the Israelites and then to us because we needed a list of do's and don'ts and God needed to just squash all our fun. No, as you will see throughout this series, it's quite the opposite. God gave us the Ten Commandments simply because He loves us and He wants us to know Him. The book, The Tender Commandments by Ron Mell, there's a quote in there and it says, "Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments described as a love letter? A tender, heartfelt message from the very hand of God? Perhaps not. Yet I've been convinced it is one of the most powerful expressions of God's love in all of Scripture. These ten statements are all-encompassing, touching virtually every part of our lives. The truths He knows are going to provide blessing and strength, a future and a hope. Some people, of course, imagine it to be the very opposite. They don't hear the love in the statements at all. What do they hear? The clank of chains and the rattling of padlocks. They hear God saying, 'You mess with me, you step out of bounds, and I'll fry you like a bug in a transformer.'" But that is how people sometimes view the Ten Commandments, especially those that didn't grow up around the church or don't know God. Most people who don't like the Ten Commandments or believe in them just can't get past the "thou shall not." They just can't get past that. Now, to understand why God gave us these Ten Commandments, we need to understand first the setting in which they were given. Now, Exodus opens with the Hebrew people being enslaved to the Egyptians. And then through the 10 plagues, God delivers His people from slavery, helps them escape Pharaoh, provides for them in the wilderness, and leads them to the mountain Sinai. In 19:3, Exodus 19:3 tells us that Moses went up to meet God on the mountain. There, the Lord tells Moses to get the people ready for His arrival. God is coming to His people. After the Israelites get ready, on the third day, when God comes, there was thunder, lightning, a loud horn blast or trumpet blast, and a thick cloud over the mountain. Listen to this from Exodus chapter 19, around verse 17. "Moses led them out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. And the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God thundered His reply. The Lord came down to the top of the mount and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain." Woo, that's a scene, isn't it? That is a scene. Wonder what we'd do on Sunday morning. God showed up that way. Woo, I'm getting to my knees is what I'm doing. That is a scene right there. God is letting all know that He's here. The question's going to be, though, what will be the first words God's going to say? Where will God begin as He comes so the people can meet Him? What's going on in Exodus 19 helps us consider that the Ten Commandments are not simply God telling the people what they can and cannot do. Rather, God is telling the people what they need to know about Him. This is their opportunity to know who God is. The Ten Commandments are not merely a set of rules, but they are a revelation of the very nature and character of God. Because God's come to meet His people. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 today. 1 through 3. Exodus 20, 1 through 3. And if you don't have your Bibles, there's one in front of you. Your phone's not working. It's also going to be on the big Bible in the sky up here on the screens. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words." You got to stop right there. Did you catch that? The words we are about to read, about to hear, are the words which God spoke. God spoke. This wasn't just a thought He put in someone's mind as they wrote down the Bible. These are words that God spoke. He spoke these words for the Israelites and for us. At the end of July, I talked about love, and we looked at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You see, God is love. And when he speaks, because he is love, he speaks in love. So everything we are about to read was spoken by God. And it was spoken in love. And not with some secret desire just to keep us all in line. I know, kids, it's hard to hear that. Because your parents, you know, they're just trying to keep you in line, give you rules that you can't do or can do, keep you in line. But that's not what's going on here in the Ten Commandments. And we've got to help the world understand this is not just a set of rules you have to follow to know God. That's not what's going on here. God is about to reveal what we need to know, what we will need to follow, to live a life in relationship with him, to live our life in his love. Exodus 20 continues by saying in verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God here is letting us all know, especially the Israelites at this time, that he is Jehovah, the absolute God. He is also reminding the Israelites and anyone who reads the Bible that he is the God of grace, the God who saves, the God who provides, as he did for the Israelites here. He reminds them that he is the one true God. He has authority over them, and he himself gave Moses these words, these commandments. Please take note that God doesn't tell the Israelites they owe him because he saved them. He's not expecting payback because, to be honest, what could they give him? God is making the point that he is worthy of our obedience because he loved us and because by his grace, he saved us. He didn't save us or the Israelites to see us put ourselves in harm's way and let sin rule our lives. He is about to give us a way to protect ourselves. So verses 1 and 2 are really the preface. They prepare us for the commandments God is about to give us. We have to know God, understand who he is and what he has done for us if we want to have any hope of following the commandments and especially following this first commandment. Once we understand that where these commandments are coming from, who it's coming from, and who is declaring them, then we are ready. We are ready to hear the first commandment. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Right there, God just could have done a mic drop and walked away. You shall have no other gods before me. A few years ago, there were some university professors who gave out copies of the Ten Commandments. And gave them to their students and asked them to arrange them in order of importance. 90% of the students reversed the order, putting the commandments about how we treat our fellow man first and the commandments about how we relate to God last. Folks, until you put God first in your life, everything else is going to be out of sorts. It's going to be out of sorts. Jesus himself tells us all the same thing. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, God says, Teacher, or God didn't say, but Jesus will reply to this, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is, Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. You got to love God. You got to know God. You got to be in relationship with God. And then you're going to take care of your neighbors. But first is got to love God. How we relate to God is more important than how we relate to others. And having no other gods other than Jehovah is the most important and number one commandment. And it's that way because one, like I said, God is protecting us. God is protecting us. This is God's first declaration. He's come down the mountain. He's here. There's fire, there's smoke, the shaking of the ground. He's speaking to Moses. He's writing the stones with his finger. And the first declaration is, we are to have no other gods. Israel was to be exclusive to God because he saved them. He was to be their one and only God. God had shown himself and proved himself by destroying the Egyptian gods through the plagues. So this was the beginning of God's covenant plea. God is beginning to make his people a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, if you will. Being God's holy people means your allegiance to one God. He is to be our one and only God. With God, And I kind of like it because I kind of agree with this. It's either all or nothing. You're either all in or you're not in. God has to be first. There can be no other God in His presence. We can't keep a God or two in our back pocket. We can't occasionally pull them out and kind of put God to the side. We can't let a person, a job, a hobby, an interest, or our success threaten God's position in our lives. However, contrary to the world's belief, this is just not to keep us under God's thumb. It's not to keep us under our control. He truly, truly gave us this commandment because He loves us and wants to protect our dependency on a false God. What can success give you that God can't give you? What can your job do for you that even compares to what God can do for you? The very first commandment of this whole series, of the whole ten, is divinely calculated to prevent man's misery and promote his happiness by taking him off all false dependence and leading him to God Himself, the fountain of all good. I read that in Clark's commentary and I thought it just hit me hard. The first commandment of the whole series is divinely calculated to prevent man's misery and promote his happiness. To promote his happiness. It's not to hold us down. It's not to ruin our fun. It's not to take our smiles away from us. It's to keep us focused on the most important thing. To keep us focused on our hope, on our salvation, on where our thoughts and our actions should be. If we choose to follow this first commandment, we won't be sucked in by false doctrine, by false gods. We won't be dependent on the lies of Satan and being led away from God. We will be in a relationship with God, and we will be, as I said in the song this morning, surrounded by His love. Now, I could go on longer about this because I so think this is such a way to protect us. If you really think about it, go back to when your parents told you not to do something. Jeff, take the car here and here. Don't take it anywhere else. You don't want me to have fun, Mom and Dad? No. So Jeff took it somewhere else. Jeff flipped it. Mom and Dad were only looking out for me. But I didn't see that then. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, children of God, God is only looking out for you. Putting Him first is not in any way to hold you down, to hold you back, to keep you from being you. We need to be us in Him. God is trying to protect us. Now, this commandment is also number one because we need a foundation. We need a foundation. Without this, no other gods, as our first commandment, without it being our foundation, we're going to eventually break one or all of the other commandments. If we don't have God in our life, why would we feel led to follow any of the other commandments? If you don't have God's perfect love inside of you, what's to keep you from lying or from not honoring your parents or from creating idols for yourself? The first commandment calls us to have no other gods before Him. This commandment reaches far deeper than merely shutting the door on the atheistic worldview. Just because you do not deny the existence of God doesn't mean you have kept this commandment. Even if you affirm that God loves you and is the source of your salvation, you have not fully kept this commandment. This first commandment is about the whole direction of our lives. It means the end of a life segmented that only gives God a certain portion, like Sunday mornings, and then directs the rest of our lives around our perceived desires and needs and goals. This commandment is the most basic redirection from a life pointed towards ourselves to a life pointed towards God. We should view this first commandment as the foundation into a life of faith. It sets our feet on the right path and points us in a right direction for all that follows in life and all that follows in this text, the rest of the commandments. If you want to be a new believer in Christ, what do we tell you? You've got to accept Christ, right? Repent from your sins. Be baptized. We don't start with do not murder. That's going to come out of your love, folks. But that foundation is you've got to know God. You've got to say God is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. That God is the Lord of my life. We have to start that with the foundation. And then you can build up from there. You got to do that. You could go to Jesus' story, the story of the rich young ruler. When he talked to the rich young ruler. And he says, have you obeyed all the commandments? You know, like lying and adultery and the rich man. Yeah, I've been obeying those since I was a kid. And then Jesus says, all right, guess what? This is what you need to do. Give away your riches. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come be with me. What's the rich young ruler do? He walks away. He walks away. He couldn't build the foundation. He couldn't even stand on the foundation because money had become so important in his life. His life was on the wrong foundation. It was on the foundation of success and money and goods and things he needed. We have to have the foundation. We have to say, God, you're my God. You are the God. No other gods in my life. Someone asked me a couple different times at places, what's this I am second all about? And there's a website and people tell stories about how they're putting God first in their lives. And it's great and you should go to it. But I don't wear it because of the website. I have about 10 of these at home. So every time I break one, I put another one on. And this is my way of a constant reminder. It's not me. It's God. He has to be first. If I'm getting up this morning and I'm going to go out to the world, I've got to remember it's not what I want. It's what he wants. Now, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't because we're human and we falter. Whatever it takes, you got to remind yourself, you're God. You are God. Now, I know most of you right now are saying, all right, Pastor, I get what you're throwing out here this morning, but how do we keep God first? How do we do it every day? How do we keep God as the only God in our lives? There's five things that I think we can do and to make it easier. It's not going to make it completely easy. It's not going to mean life's not going to get at you. Because life got, like, how many you raised your hand? It was a rough week, and life got at you. So life's going to get to you. But these five things will help you keep it in your mind, keep it in your heart, that God is your God, and he should be first in your life. Number one, give him the first priority in every decision. Every decision, give him first priority. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and always submit to him, and he will make your path straight. How many of us go to the restaurant, sit down, order what we want on the menu? Not thinking about what our body needs or what might be healthier for us, but we're at our favorite restaurant. I'm getting the big pork tenderloin. Or when I go down to Texas, let me tell you, there is a place called George's. Polly knows. Whenever we go to Waco, we're going there. They have this chicken, this country fried steak, and the gravy they lay on this thing. Woo! I'm telling you, I love that place. Polly knows. She's smiling back there because she knows. And Tiana knows. Tiana knows if I'm coming to Waco, George's is where we're going. And then you add on top of it, Southern sweet tea, the way tea was meant to be drank. Oh, man. Oh, I'm not kidding you. Last time I was there, and they give you in these big jars, 6 sweet teas I had. 6. 6 sweet teas. I was talking like this when we had a preach that day. Boy, you wouldn't understand a word I said. 6 sweet teas, the big country. Oh, I slept great about 2 in the morning, finally. Right? But I didn't get there and go, okay, God, help me make the right decision today eating here. Because there's healthy things on there, believe it or not. But I didn't do that, right? We don't think about even every situation of our lives, do we? Sometimes we just get up and we go. But if we start asking God for the little things, Help me with this decision, God. I know it seems easy, but maybe there's something else I'm supposed to do. And then watch it compound from there. And see what happens with your life. See who's first in your life. If you start that way, I'm telling you, it's going to build from there. Number two, give him the first dime of every dollar. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and the vats will brim over with new wine. We just got to put God first with what he's blessed us with. It's got to put us first. Number three, give him the first place in every relationship. Matthew 10, 37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God has to be first in every relationship. From our mother and father to our brother and sister to girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, aunt, uncle, angry neighbor. God has to be first in every relationship we have. Whatever relationship you're in, have you sat down and prayed with them lately? I lost a good friend this week. And I probably missed opportunities to talk to him about some things. And it's because I wasn't putting God first in that particular relationship. I've got another friend who one day sends me an email and just says, Jeff, I got to let you know about some choices I've made in my life. And I let him know he was still my friend. And I let him know that it doesn't change how I feel about you. And it doesn't change our relationship. But I've never followed up. He recently reached out to me and wanted me to add him to LinkedIn, which I did. But I have another way in to talk to him. And God has taught me this week, this is the one of the five, this is the one that Jeff is working on. God, you are first in every relationship. From my wife to my kids to my friends. And here's the hard one, the ones I don't like too much, the people I don't like too much. Because God is going to do something with that. Number four, give him the first minutes of every day. The first minutes of every day. This one I'm not too bad about. I get up in the morning, look in the mirror and go, God, you created this. Woo, you're good. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But I do say, woo, I'm breathing again this morning. Thank you, God. Let's go do this. And I'm telling you, there are a few days I don't do that because I wake up late or whatever. And when I don't, it makes a difference to how my day goes. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The Son of God starts his day with God. Jesus, our example, starts his day with God. That's how we got to start our day. I don't care how you do it. God doesn't care how to do it. He just wants to be there with you. He wants to say, let's do this together. Take a minute or two in the morning. Start your day with a quick prayer. Or just thank him that you're breathing. That you were able to kick your leg off the bed. That you were able even to stand up some mornings. Woo, that's tough enough. Start your day. Remind yourself. Give him the first minutes of every day. You've got plenty of other minutes. Trust me. They're there. Start your day with God. And number five, give him the first call when you have a problem. Psalm 50:15, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. How many of us wait till things just keep compounding, getting worse and worse before we call out to God? Or do you, the minute the problem occurs, even if you self-created, that's a lot of it. A lot of it, we create our own problems, so we're like, we'll get ourselves out of it, right? And sometimes we know God's not very proud of what we've done to create the problem, so we don't really want to talk to him about that. I don't really want to. But you've got to. You've got to get past that. You've got to let God help you through that. And he may tell you something you don't want to hear, or it may be a hard thing to do to fix the problem. But start with that foundation of God and see how much better in the end it truly goes. Some of these five for some of you won't be difficult. However, I know, since none of us are perfect, that one or two of these five areas can probably use some work. The challenge, the takeaway from today is to look at the five. Just look at those five we just talked about. And circle the one area you're going to work on this week. Just pick one. And say, I'm committed, God, together we're going to do this. Pick one. Don't stop trying in the other four areas, of course, but make a special effort in one that is most lacking in your life. And then see what happens. Just pick one. Start. Start there. You got to start somewhere. Now, some of you may be saying, I'm struggling with a lot. I don't even know where to begin on this. We have a way to help you. Starting a week from Monday, we have a new set of freedom groups. And this can help you get through whatever's keeping you from that relationship the way you want it to be with God. That's what freedom groups are all about. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. There's a struggle there. We're all dealing with it. Just in different ways and different reasons and different things. But if you can't get past even begin these five, then I recommend you come over and see the Polsons and talk about maybe joining a freedom group. Pray about it this week. Call myself. There's been others that have gone through it. Call them. Think about it. It may be a way to help you get to where you need to get so you can start focusing on how to keep these five and how to make sure that God is your foundation, that there are no other gods in your life. That's my public service announcement for today. When it comes down to it, we can choose to rule our own life and not let God be first in our life. We can let pride overtake us, or we can say yes and let God be the Lord of our life. We can choose humility over pride and have no other gods in our lives, or we can set ourselves up to fail and let pride win. It's funny, Karen and I were talking about the same thing in Sunday school this morning, weren't we? We live in a selfie society, but we can be different from the world and live selflessly. And this is what For Muhammad is all about. This is what God wants from us, folks, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. To live for others, to let God live through us. That's what we're doing here today. That's what it's all about. This is how God wants us to live. And with Him as the priority in our lives, we need to let the world know we are all in. We need to let them know, this is me. Like it or not, this is me. God is my God. I am following Him. We're going to do it. This is me. I am a follower of Jesus. I live my life for God. He is Lord of my life. And I will shout it from the rooftops. I will show the world by the way I live, by the way I act, by the way I talk, and most of all, by the way I love. God is the only God, and God is the only God in my life. The worship team's about to come back up on stage and sing our invitation song. And I want to ask any of you who haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, what is keeping you from making Him first in your life today? What's keeping you from trusting Him and keeping you from accepting His love for you? A love He has always had. Always. Before we existed, He had love for us. He is just waiting for you to come up and grab it. Come up and hug it. A love that was willing to be a sacrifice for each and every one of us. You are worthy of this gift of grace, not because of anything you've done, but because He deemed you worthy of it when He died on that cross. He died for each and every one of us. Don't let self-doubt and pride tell you any different. Don't let them keep you from accepting Christ today. And maybe on the other hand, it's not any of that. Maybe it's simply fear. Maybe you're scared to let go and let God. Let me ask you one last question then. How is that working for you? How is controlling your decisions working for you? Has it worked out perfectly? Please come forward today during this next song and accept the free gift of eternal life, the free gift of love, and then begin to tell the world that this is me. Jesus is my Savior, and God is Lord of my life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for everybody who's here today. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I thank you for the opportunity to let your light shine through all of us in Muhammad. I ask you to open our hearts and minds to the words today, that we take it, that we keep you first in our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, our attitudes, our actions all week. That we do everything we can to take the foundation and build from there. I see the love. We know the love you have for us. Let us take it in and give it back out to the world. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Most of all, we thank you that you are love. It's in your Son's name we pray. And all God's people said,